Here's your fair value brief for Friday, August 14th, 2026. Let's start with the three big things you need to know today. First, the labor market is showing its first real crack. Weekly jobless claims jumped to 209,000, the highest of the year. If next week's number stays above 200,000, the Fed's September meeting could suddenly get a lot more interesting. Second, Wall Street just turned AI data centers into a brand new asset class. NVIDIA, BlackRock, Apollo, and five other heavy hitters are rolling out bond-like investments tied to AI compute power, not just the chips, but the infrastructure itself. We're talking $500 billion in potential financing here. And third, oil's been quietly climbing. Brent crude finished the week at $87.71, up nearly 5%, as the Strait of Hormuz stays blocked and U.S. inventories hit their highest level since March. Now let's dig into the big story, that jump in jobless claims and what it means for the Fed. 209,000 new unemployment filings isn't just noise. It's the first real sign that the Fed's 5 to 5.25% interest rate, the highest in two decades, is finally biting. Remember, the Fed's been holding rates steady since last summer, betting the economy could handle it. This week's data? That bet just got riskier. Here's the tension. Unemployment's now at 4.1%, up from 3.5% a year ago. Wages are rising at 4%, faster than core inflation at 2.5%. That gap is the Fed's nightmare. Workers getting raises, spending more, and pushing prices up again. The bond market's already reacting. The 10-year Treasury yield dipped from 4.72 to 4.68 after the claims data. Not a crash, but a clear signal. Traders are starting to doubt the Fed's higher-for-longer stance. And if the Fed does cut in September, mortgage rates could drift down towards 6.25 by year-end. For a median-priced home, that's about $150 a month in savings. Not life-changing, but real money. But 1 week doesn't make a trend. The Fed won't pivot on a single report. Next week's claims number is critical. Another reading above 200,000, and September's meeting becomes a live debate. Below that, the Fed likely stays on hold. Either way, the labor market, not inflation, is now the story. Here's what it means for you. If you're saving, consider locking in rates on CDs or money markets now, before any Fed cuts. Homebuyers might get a little relief, but don't expect a return to 3% mortgages. 5.5 to 6.5% is the new normal. And for stock investors? A Fed shift could lift tech and growth stocks, but it'd hurt banks, which thrive on higher rates. Now, to the markets. We're opening mixed this morning. S&P futures are up just a hair, 0.04%, after Thursday's 0.6% gain. But the Nasdaq's the one to watch. It's up 1.15% for yesterday and 2.42% for the week, all thanks to AI and tech. Meanwhile, the VIX, Wall Street's fear gauge, ticked up to 14.57. Traders are hedging, but no one's hitting the panic button yet. Oil's been the week's sleeper story. Brent crude closed at $87.71, up nearly 5%, as the Strait of Hormuz stays blocked. But here's the twist. U.S. crude inventories are swelling to 424.4 million barrels, the highest since March. So we've got a supply crunch overseas and a glut at home. Gold, on the other hand, is acting like the safe haven oil isn't. It's up 1.06% today to $4,409.80. extending an 8.59% gain for the month. Silver's quieter, up just 0.04% today, but it's actually outperforming gold over the past month, up 10.43%. Crypto? Stuck in neutral. Bitcoin's down 1.11% to $62,699. Ethereum's off 0.7% to $1,870. Both are down about 3% for the week, caught between Fed uncertainty and no fresh catalysts. Now, the big picture. Stocks are near record highs, but the rally's uneven. The S&P's up 1.15% for the week, the Nasdaq's surging 2.42%, but small caps are lagging. The Russell 2000's up just 1.71% for the week and 3% for the month. A handful of mega-cap tech names, NVIDIA, Microsoft, Meta, are doing the heavy lifting, while the rest of the market treads water. Energy's the standout sector, up 4.99% for the week and 7.22% over the past month. Tech's up 2.94%, but utilities are getting crushed, down 3.61% as bond yields climb. Bonds are sending mixed signals. The 10-year Treasury yields at 4.68%, down from 4.72% earlier in the week. The bond market's now pricing in a 35% chance of a September rate cut, up from almost zero last month. But here's the odd part. The high-yield bond market looks too calm. The extra yield investors' demand for risky corporate bonds is just 2.71%, way below its long-term average of 5.17%. That's not caution. That's complacency. Commodities are telling two different stories. Oil's got this split personality. Prices are rising because of the Hormuz blockade, but U.S. inventories are piled high. Meanwhile, natural gas is the quiet mover. Prices are up 1.17% today to $2.76, but the real story's in storage. We've got 3,153 billion cubic feet stockpiled, 12% above the five-year average. And crypto? Still waiting for a spark. Bitcoin and Ethereum are both down about 3% for the week, with trading volume way below average. That's low conviction, no panic, but no urgency to buy either. Solana's the exception, up 2.44% for the week. Now, let's go around the world. The Strait of Hormuz is still effectively closed. Only 3 vessels transited on Tuesday, down from 14 the day before. The daily average for August is now below 12, a fraction of pre-conflict levels. Since February, 15 attacks on ADNOC vessels alone have killed one crew member and injured 20. But the economic ripple goes way beyond oil. The strait handles 1/3 of the world's seaborne fertilizer trade, plus critical shipments of helium for semiconductors, plastics, and aluminum. Tensions are simmering. Iran's new Basij paramilitary chief claims the strait is under Iran's control, while the U.S. calls its naval presence a wall of steel. Behind the scenes, though, Oman's mediating talks toward a 60-day vessel routing deal. No transit fees, just a temporary truce. Over in India, they're in a tight spot. Russia supplied half of India's crude in July, a record, and the $10 to $15 discount to Brent makes it hard to say no. But the U.S. is pressuring New Delhi to cut ties with Moscow, threatening secondary sanctions if India helps Russia evade the $60 per barrel price cap. India's response: public reassurances, private lobbying. And China's car export boom is hitting a shipping bottleneck. Exports jumped 62% in the first half of the year, but there aren't enough vessels to move them. Shipping a car from China to Europe now costs $1,200 to $1,500, up from $800 to $1,000 last year. The problem? Too many cheap Chinese EVs, not enough ships. Now, the company's making news today. NVIDIA is leading a $500 billion financing revolution. Alongside BlackRock, Apollo, and 5 other Wall Street giants, they're turning AI data centers into bond-like investments, targeting over $500 billion in outside capital. This isn't about loans. It's about monetizing AI infrastructure like never before. Meta's AI spending is paying off, for now. Second quarter revenue hit $60.8 billion, up 28% from last year. The stock's up 2.78% to $594.97, but there's a catch. Free cash flow plunged 91% to just $784 million as AI spending balloons to $145 billion for the year. Tesla's quietly rebounding. Shares climbed 3.8% to $339.96 this week, up 6.39% for the week, after reports that its 4680 battery cells hit 90% yield in production. That's a big deal for margins. Shopify's fulfillment network is attracting big brands. Shares jumped 5.4% to $158.53, Thursday's top S&P performer, after reports that brand signups are accelerating faster than expected. Palantir's Army AI platform just cleared another hurdle. The stock's up 4.66% to $179.01, and it's up a stunning 34% for the month. Micron's riding a memory chip rebound. Shares gained 4.23% to $949.83 as drum prices rise faster than expected. Coinbase is defying crypto's slump, up 3.26% to $153.90, even as Bitcoin dips, thanks to record stablecoin volume in July. Airbnb's experiences segment is taking off. shares rose 2.8% to $185.13, up 22% for the week, after reporting 50% year-over-year growth in tours and activities. And arms climbing on reports that Apple's next MacBooks will use its chips for on-device AI. Shares are up 2.49% to $278.65. Now, what's happening in Washington? The Fed's internal divide is widening. July's meeting minutes show 3 of the 12 voting members pushed for a quarter-point hike, the first non-unanimous vote this year. Markets are now betting on 125 basis point cut by December, with a 35% chance it happens as soon as September. The Treasury's also making a big move, directing $250 billion to support AI and energy infrastructure. Think loans, guarantees, and tax incentives for data centers in Texas, Ohio, and Georgia, plus nuclear power and grid upgrades. And private credits facing new scrutiny. The SEC and Federal Reserve are zeroing in on the $1.6 trillion industry as bank lending pulls back. First up, Blackstone's Bright Fund, which has limited withdrawals. Now, let's look under the hood at the labor market. That 209,000 jump in jobless claims isn't random. It's a leading indicator. Historically, a 10% monthly rise in claims means higher unemployment in 3 to 6 months. If claims stay elevated, here's the likely chain reaction. The Fed cuts rates. The 10-year Treasury yield falls to around 4.4 or 4.5%. Mortgage rates drop to 6.25. Housing demand ticks up and stocks re-rate, with growth stocks winning and banks lagging. The key watches? Next week's claims number and the August jobs report on September 4th. If payrolls come in below 100,000, a September cut becomes a real possibility. Now, a quick lesson. How Fed rate changes actually reach your wallet. The Fed didn't touch its 5 to 5.25% rate this week. But when jobless claims jumped, traders started betting on a September cut. Here's how that ripple spreads. First, banks move fast. The moment the Fed cuts, the prime rate, what banks charge their best customers, drops immediately. That affects credit cards and home equity lines. Second, mortgages follow, but slowly. The 10-year Treasury yield sets the benchmark for 30-year fixed rates. When Treasury yields fall, mortgages eventually follow, but it can take weeks or even months. Third, savings rates are the last to move. Banks drag their feet on cutting what they pay you. Today's best high-yield accounts offer around 5%. If the Fed cuts, expect that to drop to 4 to 4.5% by early 27. And stocks? Lower rates boost valuations, but if the Fed's cutting because the economy's weak, earnings could fall, offsetting the gain. Remember, the Fed's tools are blunt and slow. A cut today won't fully hit hiring or spending for 12 to 18 months. Finally, here's what to watch this week. On Monday, we've got 13-week and 26-week Treasury bill auctions, $92 billion and $79 billion, respectively, plus a 20-year bond auction of $16 billion. Tuesday brings July housing starts and building permits. Wednesday's the big one, the FOMC minutes from July's meeting, plus existing home sales data. Thursday, we'll get the latest weekly jobless claims and an $8 billion auction of 29-year, 6-month Treasury bonds. And Friday wraps up with August's flash PMI readings, a key gauge of economic activity. That's it for today. We'll be back Monday with the latest. Have a great weekend.